on a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. We're joined by Keith Waltermeyer.
Good job, Romy.
Did I get it that time?
Yeah, you practiced during the break.
Waltermeyer of Treeland Nursery. I appreciate you joining us this morning. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions to 411-923. Email pictures for plant or insect identification. Info@ROSIE on the house.com. If you're in Tucson, we were talking about edibles.
Yes.
Particularly nuts. Well, the Arizona Community Tree Council and Baja Arizona Edible Arizona has a great event going on today at the TucsonBirthplace.org, a incredible area. And according to all historic and geological records, the oldest place to find agricultural growth fields in the state dating back over 4,000 years.
Oh, wow.
Along the Santa Cruz River. So they've got a class today, free to the public, 2 to 5, the Membrillo Fest and Edible Tree Celebration. Tucson Mission Garden, 946 West Mission Lane. You can go to leafnetworkaz.org for the details. Great opportunity to go get an education on growing your own edibles. And we started about 5 years ago, and we're just getting to the point where we're starting to see some production. Now, we've had it on certain varieties, but when you start from a 5-gallon plant...
Right, you're starting with a young juvenile tree. It's going to take, like you said, 5-7 years, depending on the variety. Seeing that long-term payoff is huge. Once you start to, you know, the kids grow, it's kids start to get a little older and start eating all that fruit with you. It's neat to do. Take advantage of these courses free. That's even better. Get out there and learn all you can to produce your own fruit and edibles.
So great. If you're in the Tucson area, there you go. We have Ted in Sun City first on the line. Welcome to the program, sir. You can hear our voice in the background. He's not listening on his headset at this moment. We'll give him a second to get there. As we are in the planting season, we've talked edibles, we've talked vegetable gardening, we've talked lawns. When we get to the summer months, you can always go into a parking lot and identify who's local, because even if their vehicle is 100 feet farther from the door, if there's the tiny bit of shade, every vehicle's huddled around it.
Yeah.
You can tell who's been here through a hot summer.
No question.
Just by identifying vehicles in the parking lot.
No question.
Shade is priceless.
It is.
What's your favorite shade tree? You could ask 100 men in the industry, and you could get 100 different answers.
Yes, no question about it. My favorite shade tree is got to be the red push pistache. It's an ornamental pistache tree. They do wonderfully in the valley. Take the heat, take the cold. They give you fall color, which is hard to find in Phoenix. You know, you don't see that often like you do back east or the Midwest.
Notify sales team to call Bernie. He got free plug on Rosie's tree.
You're welcome, Bernie. Yeah, the red push pistache is great. The Fantex ash is another one. It's a seedless ash tree. Those two are great.
Okay, the seedless ash tree, the Fantex.
The Fantex, yeah. There's other varieties that do great here and do well, but you know you're gonna get some seeds and some more litter throughout the year than you would the Fantex.
Now the red push pistache is deciduous, so you're gonna have leaf drop in the winter.
Correct.
A great one if you're on the south or west side. That way you've got your shade against your home in the heat of the summer.
Right.
And you get the sun shining through in the winter.
To warm the house, exactly right.
It is propagated locally.
Yes.
Every red push pistache in the country comes out of Marana.
Correct.
Arizona Pistachio Tree Growers. Bernie's a great guy.
Yeah.
He supports the Arizona Nursery Association. Mm-hmm. He supports the Arizona Community Tree Council.
Right.
Very community involved. And through the years, I think I've ended up on our property with 7 or 8 of Bernie's trees.
Oh, is that right? Very good. I've got two in my own yard. So no, they're excellent trees. And like I said, it's a good climbing tree. It's a heavy hardwood for those kids to get up and play. So
all right, well, let's see if Ted's ready now in Sun City with a question for Keith. Ted, or do we have you this morning?
Yes, I'm not sure this is a category for him, but it's a yard type question.
It's a category
we'll
for Keith.
Yeah.
We've got a rock yard, and every day we go out there and we see these little holes. They're like 1 to 2 inches in diameter and about, on average, a couple inches deep. And trying to figure out, we've never seen anything doing that. I don't know whether it's through the night or we're trying to figure out what it might be.
They're probably coming out through the night. Hard to say exactly what it is, but it could be a ground squirrel. It could be gopher. Anything like that, if you want to, not harm them, but maybe repel them. Bonide makes a great product called Repelzol, which is all natural. Not going to hurt the little critters at all, but see if you can kind of, push them out of the area. Even your neighbor's yard.
It's a granular you could just shake
exactly.
on the ground.
There's a granular. There's a liquid. You just put it down basically and wet it, and it'll repel those
This
critters.
Is where game cameras come in awful handy. Yes. Well. I don't know if they pick up small animals.
That's
like
a great
that,
point. It should.
But
yeah.
It's cameras that hunters use. They'll tie it to a tree, and when it hits
right.
motion, it takes a picture. And so then you come and you get the chip off and you can see what's walking past that tree. Game and Fish uses it a lot
yep.
for monitoring wildlife, and that's actually how they found the jaguar down on southern Arizona.
That would be a great option.
I think you can get them for less than $100
now. Oh, yeah.
Now.
Yeah, they're inexpensive.
Identify it, and then if it's something different, well, we can
sure.
adjust our treatment.
Exactly.
Let's see what Charlie in Phoenix is up to this morning at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
My favorite lemon tree slowly died, and I would get 500-600 lemons off this tree over the 20 years that I had it. And when I got down to the trunk, there was termites in the trunk. And when I got down to the roots, there was no termites in the roots. Can I, which I treated really well, but can I replant another lemon tree in that area?
You can. The termites, if it was a slow decline, there was some dead wood in the tree, then the termites would come in. But yeah, I mean, if there was any green growth and there was some life to it, the roots wouldn't, the roots would still be green and living. But yeah, once you remove the tree and replace, you can definitely replace it right away. Doing a general termite treatment with, we carry a product called Bonide 8 that would definitely knock them out. And, once that dries, you're safe to plant the new tree.
Okay. I appreciate it, gentlemen. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you as well.
That's a hard one because he's going to put a new tree in and expect that same growth that he got off that established tree.
Yes.
Even if you buy a larger tree,
mm-hmm.
let's say a 24-inch box
right.
or a 72-inch box, something that takes a tractor to come set
right.
or some heavy equipment, getting the tree acclimated to the soil and producing, it's
mm-hmm.
that's a...
Yeah, there's a definite transition there.
Transition, that's the word I was looking
right.
for.
Right, and back to this time of year, it's really a great time for most of the citrus, all your trees, get them in the ground now. Get them established before next summer comes. You're going to get a lot of root growth this winter, even though you won't see it above ground. A lot of root growth this winter, and next spring it'll pay off with a lot of foliage.
Starting with a 5-gallon, let's just say you go the extreme opposite and you start with a brand new small tree.
Yeah.
On citrus,
mm-hmm.
they don't produce on new growth.
Correct. So lemons typically produce at a younger age, so do limes. But yeah, starting with a 5-gallon, it's usually a two-year-old tree typically. Most citrus will fruit between 3 and 5. So yeah, it's going to take a few years or 2 or 3 years to get there.
And that time, he's going to be buying lemons at the store and just, he's just going to be gritting his
yeah,
teeth.
Yeah, that's tough. That's
tough. I missed my tree. Eileen and Rio Rico's next on the line. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I have a 26-year-old mesquite tree. It was called a Chilean mesquite in my front yard that has a diameter of about 4 feet that seems to be dying. I'm wondering how old mesquites live to and what I should do because it's huge.
Couple questions. As far as the dieback, is it coming from the outer part and outer part of the tree and working itself in, or are you just seeing die out throughout?
It's coming from the outer part and it's working itself in. And right now, it probably has less than 5% of its leaves left.
Oh, wow. Okay. When did this start happening? Just this past summer, or?
Yeah, well, just this past fall. It came really fast.
Any sort of weed killers applied in the area in the last year or so? Like, you
know. No, it's in a, we have a courtyard in the front of our house, and it's in a hole that is approximately 8 feet in diameter.
Okay.
Maybe even 10 feet in diameter. It's, you know, so there's no, no other plants around it.
Okay. And is that plant area, is there a patio or concrete around it in that plant area? Okay. The best thing you could do is really heavily water it right now, whether it's a chemical that caused it or water. Or is the wood itself brown and brittle, or is it?
Yes.
Okay.
The wood itself is brown and brittle. About three weeks ago, one of the limbs that kind of hangs over my house completely died. It lost all of its leaves. When the winds came, pieces were breaking off. So we cut off that chunk, and it was about 9 inches in diameter.
Okay.
Because I was afraid that it could fall off and hit my house. And that was completely dead. And the rest of the tree is going the same way.
The only thing I could think of without seeing it is, you know, just in that 8-foot planter, a lot of those roots, those feeder roots that pull in the water, are, you know, under that patio now or that concrete area. I don't know if that patio stops at some point and maybe you can apply some water outside there to see if that water might get to those roots. But the best thing you could do is just give it a good deep watering at this time, you know, real slow, run it overnight, and do that about once a month to see if you can kind of get it to perk back up. Other than that, okay. I would check the general branches. You've done, you know, cut back already, but make sure there's no boring going on, you know, holes in the trunk itself, maybe something internal in the tree that could be causing that.
If we have to have that tree removed, is there any services that come down to the Nogales area?
That's a great question.
I turned my mic off, sorry. Yes, absolutely, Eileen. I don't have that at my fingertips, but the Arizona Community Tree Council, ACTC.org, go on there. They've got certified arborists listed regionally.
And it'd be worth it to have an arborist come out even before then, just to assess the tree and take a look at it and see what's more going on besides what we hear.
All right, when we get back to the calls, it's Rosie on the House every Saturday morning.